Our chains are gone. No weapon formed shall prevail. Your word is stronger, we overcome. Your glory resounds through the age, all saints declaring your great renown. Kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken. We will. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken. We will not fear. Our God's a mighty warrior. He's a consuming fire. In victory he reigns. We triumph in his name. Jesus the great commander. You conquer death forever.
chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows.
Yeah. sing this together.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Treasures of wisdom and things to be known, hidden inside your ear. And in this fortunate turn of events, you ask me to be your friend. Swimming inside of your desire. treasures of wisdom and things to be known, they're hidden inside your ears. And in this fortunate turn of events, you ask me to be your friend. You ask me to be your friend.
Him this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up a shout unto God. Hallelujah. The voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first and the last. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. How many of you know that sometimes when you're trying to communicate something to someone, maybe it's something as simple as you're on your way to the grocery store, and as you get ready to leave, your wife sticks her head out and says, "Hey, don't forget the milk. Just, you know, get the rest of the stuff, but please, I'm making a cake here. Don't forget the milk." How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Hey, one more thing. Whatever you do, don't forget, okay? Jesus did that. You look at the last pages of this book of Revelation. Revelation is an incredible book that gives an experience where John, who was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, little 4 or 5 mile rocky island. No vegetation, nothing beautiful to see, just rocks. Boiled in a pot of oil, according to the Fox's Book of Martyrs. A book I read on an airplane one day. And John goes through this incredible experience where the curtain is opened. Come on, somebody. Revelation. God reveals, okay? He pulls the curtain back, and he allows this man of God to see. And then he says to him, listen, write the things that you see. Write what you hear. And then at the end of this whole wonderful thing that we call apocalyptic literature, just last days kind of stuff, Jesus says, hey, one more thing. I just want to tell you this. It's called the epilogue in your Bible, Revelation 22. I'm looking at beginning at verse 12. He says, hey, look, I am coming soon. Okay? I don't think y'all heard me. He says, look, I'm coming soon. Okay? And he says, my reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. You don't get judged on me. I don't get judged on you. Every tub, come on, stands on its own legs, okay? But he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first, what we've just been singing about this morning. I am the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they might have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside, somebody say outside. Outside of that celestial city are those who practice magic arts, sexually immoral people, murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Somebody say liars. It's clear that God's looking for a remnant. He's looking for a people who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. I know we're not perfect, but we're just forgiven. Come on. We're just forgiven. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to you to give you this testimony. I sent this book to you for the churches. Because he says, I'm the root and the offspring of David. I'm the bright and the morning star. And the spirit of the bride say what? Come on, man. Come on. Come on, Jesus. Come on back. They say, come. I'm thankful. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I'm ready to meet the Lord today. Amen. I'm thankful that in this house of worship last Sunday, three more people said, I want to be ready to meet the Lord today. Amen. Three people came to Christ. Saturday in the men's meeting, right here in this sanctuary, three men surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus. Come on. People are getting saved and coming into the kingdom of God today. Amen. Hey, one more thing. Don't forget the milk, okay? One more thing. Make sure that you are living your life for the right reason, for the right cause. Lord, I thank you that today, that you have hearts in this room, right today, Lord, that perhaps may need to make preparation. Today might be their day. We're believing you in this series of meetings, God, for continued salvations, continued deliverances, continued healings, continued miracles. We're believing you, Lord. We're trusting in you. Because we've already seen we cannot trust this world. Nothing in it. And you are the first. And you are the last. In Jesus' name. Come on, sing it one more time. You are my first. You are my last. Come on, sing it one more time to the Lord this morning. You, hallelujah.
You are my first.
You're my first.
You are my last.
You're my future, Lord.
You are my future.
Praise today. Have your way in our hearts. Have your way in our midst today. Have your way online, God, as people are watching from their homes or sitting on a beach or under a tree or wherever they're watching, God, all over this earth, God. Thank you for televised ministry, God, all over the earth today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord praise before you're seated today. Give the Lord praise. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. As you're seated, let me have the following people just to come and right quickly just stand in front of you. Diane Askew is not here today, and Hersey Bazemore, they're in New York, and they'll be back next week. PJ and Sydney Barnes, if you guys would come. And then transfers from El Taller Carpintero. Amen. Did I do that right? Fairly good. Es muy poquitos. Very, very poor Spanish. But you guys come on here. Sonia Dominguez, Kathy Montanez, Elena Velasquez. Amen. Julian Montanez. Julian's the drummer who sits on the second row. Come on. Amen. Just come on right here. You guys just come and stand right in the front and smile and see what I have to look at every week. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Just stand on the front row. Stand right there at the front and look back at your wonderful audience there. I'm going to pray over you. Praise God. Julian can be seated. We give him permission. And these are members. Amen. Amen. Members. New members. New members. And we thank God. Sydney's upstairs. She's ministering. She's such a member. She's already working and serving. And Elena's upstairs serving. Okay. That's all right. And the other couple's in New York. So we'll recognize them next week. But would you just take a moment and stretch your hand out this way? And let's pray for these that have come. You know, I thank God for people who are continually saying, you know, I'd like to just connect in a deeper way. That's what membership is. Telly Savalas used to say, it has its privileges. Amen. And it does. You know what the privilege is? The privilege is you feel a deeper connection to something that you've said, hey, I want to belong to this. Amen. So God, right now, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, we come to you with gratitude today for all of these who've come and said, I want to unite with Carpenter Shop International Church by way of becoming a member. I want it to be known, Lord, I'm a part. I'm proud to be a part. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for incredible giftings and abilities, God, that each of them bring to the table. Lord, we bless you for the Julians, God, who will never be a silent partner, but will be active and play his drum, Lord, for your glory. We thank you, God, for each one that has come today, and we pray that you would just use them to further advance your kingdom. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen. Come on, give your hands up for the membership. God bless you guys. Love and appreciate you. Thank you, PJ. Thanks for the coffee this morning. Praise God. Thank you so much. Julian, put it there, man. God bless you. Love you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Thank you for members. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, now we get to reach into our pockets. Come on. We get to reach into our pockets and give something holy called the tithe. Amen. What is the tithe? Well, if you made 1,000 last week, it's 100. Amen. It's easy math. It's real easy math. And God is not, it's not really a choice, it's a mandate. Amen. And the reason that we receive the tithe is so that there can be food on the table. Amen. This is the table, the church, so that we can properly prepare food to serve God's people, not just here, but all over the earth. Thank you. Thank you. Many of you have said, I want to be one of those who pays $125 a month, takes the gospel and puts it in 182 nations. This morning's service is across the world. Amen. And so we thank you for doing that. I'm amazed when I look and see the reports of how people are saying, hey, I want to do the TV thing. Here's $125. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to give. God bless every person right now who's clicking the button. God bless every person who's walking forward. God bless every person who's saying, this is not mine. It belongs to him. Come on. Every person, God, who's a recipient because he opens the windows of heaven and pours out blessings. Come on. Why don't you praise him this morning? He pours out blessings in Jesus' mighty name. we thank him for it, Lord. We thank you for it. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You guys got something to sing? Amen. That's all right. That's cool. Hey, let me remind you, as Brian, if you guys could get our podium up here for our preacher this morning. Let me remind you that as you came in today, here's one of my don't forget the milks. I got a message from my wife. Don't forget the women's meeting, all right? So here's what I want to share with you. When you came in today, you ladies were invited to sign your name. And that was if you are wanting to be a part of the October 1st meeting right here, Friday night, 6:30, outside under what we're hoping for, a chilly night. Because it's a fall celebration, a time for the women to come together and connect. And we're excited about what God's going to do right outside with pickup trucks. And somebody asked me this week, what's a tailgate? Amen. It's all right. It's okay. A tailgate is when you take the bed of your truck and you turn it into a little buffet or whatever. Coolers, and inside the coolers are water, okay, okay. Pepsis, okay. That's about as far as it goes, all right. But we're going to have a good time. You ladies are going to have a good time. Casual dress, comfortable dress, fire in the middle. And the fire is also coming. Someone's going to speak to us on Friday night right out here in the parking lot. And so the ladies are going to have s'mores and talk about their, well, they're just going to talk, okay? Talk about their guys. Talk about their Lord. Talk about their goodness. Talk about their God. And they're going to have a good time connecting together. So if you want to get on that list, go by the table in the foyer, okay? Put your name down there, and your meal will be provided. It's just going to be a simple, what we call a bag lunch, all right? It's going to be a simple bag lunch and a good time together. So give it up for the women, amen? Come on, they're going to have a good time Friday night, amen? Friday night. We're going to have a good time right now, amen? You know why? Because we're going to open the Word of God, the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path. We're going to hear from God's Word from a good friend of mine, and we've been friends for 2 days. Amen. I just met Wesley Augrey. Amen. I met him on the phone just a few weeks ago because the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, call him up, call him up. And I've learned to listen to God. I remember sitting in a dentist office one day getting a bad situation fixed, okay? Getting a bad tooth fixed. And I was sitting there in the foyer, and I opened a Charisma magazine that the dentist didn't purchase, but one of the customers left it on the table. And shoo, my eyes peered upon a man in a one-by-one icon. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, call him up. And I started laughing in the dentist office. Above the pain, above everything, I started laughing. I said, God, he ain't coming to a husky. He's not, this guy's in Charisma magazine. He's not coming to a husky. And the Lord said, you call him up. And so I called up Sister Virginia, a man by the name of St. Clair Mitchell. Amen. And he came to a husky and he preached a series of meetings. And God met us here powerfully. I'm expecting nonetheless today. And tonight, 6 o'clock. Somebody say tonight. 6 o'clock. Okay. You know how many times we've done that this year? None. So tonight's just one Sunday night. So make it a priority. Participate. Pray. Show up. And allow God to speak to your heart through my new friend, Wesley Augrey. Would you give him a warm, a husky welcome as he comes this morning? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And stretch your hand out, would you? Come on, stretch your hand out this way. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we're already thanking you for what you're going to do. Thank you for the preached word of God, the gospel, the good news, the evangelion, God, deposited into our minds today, into our spirits today. Do what you desire to do through your manservant. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory. It's in the name of Christ the Savior we pray. And everybody gave a loud amen. Amen. God bless you, my friend.
Well, if you're happy to be in God's house this morning, come on, give God praise. Praise God. If you would, lift your hands with me as we pray to enter the service. So lift your hands with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word this morning. I ask you that you would visit us by your power. As the word goes forth, I thank you that you're going to heal, save, and deliver like only you can. I ask you, God, every lost soul that's in this sanctuary this morning, begin to speak to their heart and stir them to make a decision this morning for Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, everything that represents wickedness or anything that's not of you, I thank you that by the end of this service, it's broken off of the life of everybody here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, what a blessing it is to be with God's people this morning in Ahoskie, North Carolina. Amen. As your pastor was saying, you know, these meetings are supernatural. If you know this, if you understood the story of how me and Pastor Wallace got connected, you would know that there's a God in heaven that speaks and puts things together. Amen. So I just want to publicly honor your pastor, Pastor Wallace, for inviting me. I don't take this opportunity lightly. You know, it takes a man of God of real character and that really can hear from the Spirit of God to have somebody in that's just starting in their journey in evangelism. And so I honor him this morning. Come on, give God praise for your pastor. It's biblical to do so. But I believe that God is going to visit us not only this morning, but tonight. Tonight I'm going to preach a message entitled, A Fresh Anointing. And amen. She received that. And we're going to pray for people, lay hands, and God's going to touch everybody. Amen. I bring you greetings from New England and the state of Massachusetts, where I'm from. We have someone from New England? Really? Really? That's where I'm from. That's crazy. Wow. Praise God. God is, wow. Awesome. Wow. Wow. Okay. That is crazy. Well, I'm excited. God's going to do mighty things. Amen. So as your pastor said, my name is Wesley Agre. I felt the call of God come on my life at just 14 years old for the full-time ministry, for the work of the evangelist. And from that day until this very day, I've had one purpose in my life, and that's to declare to a new generation who Jesus is in the fullness of his power. Amen. So I want to begin just by sharing a testimony that's going to tie in with everything I'm going to talk to you about this morning. In the summer, I had the opportunity to preach a youth conference in the state of Connecticut up in New England. And if you want to throw up that first picture, we had young people drive in from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, obviously, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. We had about 300 young people present in the service, which for New England during COVID time is big. And so on Thursday night, I preached a message entitled Jesus for a New Generation, preaching the gospel from the beginning to the very end. And at the end of that service, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, call forward everybody that's dealing with a spirit of mental torment, suicide, and depression. So I listened to the Holy Spirit. I said, if you're dealing with these things, come forward. God's going to set you free right now. Well, out of the 300 people that were there, 150 young people came forward. Well, you know that the devil's out to destroy a generation, right? So we laid hands and prayed with everyone that was present, and God radically set people free. It was just something I had never seen before, seeing God's deliverance. People that came up literally oppressed, and as we prayed with them, a smile returned to their face for the first time in over 10 years, one kid testified. 10 years. But this here is Amy, and Amy's 12 years old. And the story and the testimony of Amy really touched my heart and made me cry more times than I want to admit. But at the altar, I could see that she was standing about here, and I felt drawn to her in my spirit. And she was crying, but I could tell she wasn't crying because God was touching her, right? A spiritual cry. She was crying because she was actively being tormented. So I went up to her, I said, what's going on? And she said, there's a voice in my head that's telling me I'm no good, I'm not good enough, I'm the problem, I should just end my life. At the altar. Well, you know that's a spirit of suicide, right? So I said, quickly, come up here with me on the platform. And I said, you foul spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out. And as true as the gospel is true, her body went like this and snapped up, and she let out like a scream, shriek mix. You know, the Bible still says that as devils left their victims, they left screaming. Amen? And so whatever that heaviness was, you could tell it broke, because when she looked at me the second time, it was different. And then she said, I feel a burning. I feel a burning. I feel a burning. I said, Amy, that's the fire of God that's coming on you now to restore and to renew everything that the devil tried to take from you. Amen? So I laid hands on her. She went out in God's power. Fast forward to Friday night. Friday night, I preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She got, oh, and Thursday night, she gave her life to Jesus Christ for the first time. Amen? On Friday night, I preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Laid hands on everybody present. God filled people again, a supernatural service. But she got filled with the Holy Spirit that night. And then if you want to throw up that next picture, we had so many first-time decisions for Jesus Christ, 87 recorded in 3 days, that the youth pastor said, let's do a spontaneous water baptism. So we did that. And when Amy found out that we were doing water baptisms, she jumped in that tank so quick, she almost went sliding down the stairs. And that's her face there getting baptized with joy. If you want to throw up that next picture as well. Just a different picture. And I was, you know, I was overjoyed because Amy's testimony represents the gospel of Jesus Christ. On Thursday night, she came in depressed, ready to kill herself. She got saved for the first time, filled with the Holy Spirit, water baptized, filled with joy, and now she's serving Jesus. Amen? That is a testimony of what Jesus can do. And it doesn't take Jesus, you know, 47 years to do something about what's going on in your life. He did it for Amy in 2 days. And I believe this morning, anything you've come in here with, Jesus Christ will set you free from and redeem you from. And so this morning, I want to minister a word to you on the thought, God is a redeemer. And Amy's testimony clearly represents that. As I was praying and fasting and asking God what he wanted me to minister to God's people here in Ahoskie, this kept coming up in my spirit, God is a redeemer. God is a redeemer. God is a redeemer. So I knew what he wanted me to share this morning. Amen? If you want to turn in your Bible quickly to Psalm 103, Psalm 103, I want to show you this morning from the Bible that God is a redeemer. Amen? And I love Psalm 103 because it's a great representation of what God did for Amy in that picture. Psalm 103, starting in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and here are God's redemptive benefits. And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, and who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. I want to focus on verse 4 very quickly. Who redeems your life from destruction. What is redeem? What does redemption mean? Well, quite simply, redemption is a freeing from slavery, bondage, or punishment by the paying of a price called a ransom. Even more simplified, it means simply buying somebody out. Or even this, I like the most, restoring someone to their original value before sin disfigured them. Restoring someone to their original value before sin disfigured them. And what's interesting about verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction, that word there, destruction, literally means a pit or a ditch. It represents the lowest place that you could be in life. There's no place lower than a pit or a ditch. And because of the curse of sin, many people are living in a pit. They're living in a ditch. The lowest place they could be. But the good news of the Bible is that God redeems your life from every pit and from every ditch. I don't care how low you are this morning. I don't care what's come against you, what has you held. God today, by his Spirit and by the cross of Jesus Christ, will pull you out from the pit you're in and place you where only Christ can take you. Amen? I love the story of Hannah in the Bible. Because Hannah experienced God's redemption. Amen? She was barren. And in that culture, that brought on her great shame because she couldn't produce a child. And God showed up in her life and pulled her out of her pit. She was in the lowest place she could be, but God showed up and demonstrated to her, Hannah, I'm your redeemer. And when God redeemed her, she released out of her spirit what we call Hannah's song in 1 Samuel. And she made a declaration that perfectly represents what God's redemption looks like in the life of any individual. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 8, Hannah, making a confession of praise out of her spirit, he raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Let me read that one more time. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Do you see that lifting that we just read in Psalms and now we're reading it here in 1 Samuel? Hannah said this, listen, he lifts people out of the dust. You can't get lower than that. Then she says, he lifts beggars out of the dunghill. Well, if you don't know what that is, think of a huge pile of manure. That's what the Bible says, people that are stuck in sin, in the curse of sin, they're stuck in piles of manure. I mean, you can't get any more clear than that. Some translations actually say a garbage heap, a heap of garbage, like the big place where the trash truck will bring, you know, the whole town's collection. And she said God has the ability by his redemptive power, and she was speaking from experience, will lift you out of the low place, lift you out of the dunghill, lift you out of the garbage heap, and set you among the princes of his people. Amen? Come on, give God praise this morning for that. I mean, it's supernatural. He'll lift people up. God's a lifter. He's a restorer, and he's a redeemer. And what's funny is I didn't even know the title or the emphasis of these meetings until I saw the flyer myself. And I said, well, God, I know that I heard from you clearly, because everything I'm going to minister to you on while I'm here has to do with God's ability to redeem and to restore every aspect of your life. In the Old Testament, a person that may have owed a debt or may have had something that they couldn't pay back would often sell themselves into voluntary servitude or slavery because they had no ability to pay back the debt that they owed. And so in the Old Testament time period, people would do that as a way to avoid punishment or things like that. And so the only person, the Bible tells us, that was able to take somebody out of that condition or to redeem them or buy them out or to restore them to what they were before they were sold or sold themselves into slavery was someone called a kinsman redeemer. Can you say that? Kinsman redeemer. Well, what's a kinsman redeemer? That's a great question. A kinsman redeemer had to meet three qualifications to be able to properly buy out or redeem a person from their condition and their position of slavery. Number one, they had to be kin or of family or of some relationship to the person in bondage or in slavery. Number two, they had to be willing to redeem. The person in slavery couldn't go to them and beg, hey, please, please buy me out, please help me out. No, it had to be of their own will and their own volition, where they said, no, I desire of my own will without pressure to buy that person out of the condition that they're in and bring them out and set them up. So number one, kin. Number two, they had to be willing. But thirdly, a kinsman redeemer had to have the ability to pay the price. So in the Old Testament time, a kinsman redeemer was often somebody of wealth, great stature, or that owned lots of land. Think of the story of Ruth and Boaz, for those of you that have read that story. And you see the example there of a kinsman redeemer in action. Amen? Amen? You know, what's interesting about that is that the Bible says that if a person in bondage or slavery was able to scrounge up enough money themselves, they could be their own kinsman redeemer. That was rare, but it was possible. And the thing that I find the most interesting is this. The Bible clearly makes the point that all of humanity is sold under the bondage and slavery of sin. Amen? The Bible is clear that all of humanity is a captive to sin and has no ability to do anything about it. And the Bible is clear that we could never pay our own debt. We can't redeem ourselves. There's nothing that we can do of our own volition to say, hey, you know I've sinned, I know I've missed the mark with God, but I'm just going to decide to just be better today. That's not how it works. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can come, redeem, and restore your life. Amen? But you know what's very interesting about that? The good news of the Bible and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. Amen? Can you say that? Amen. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. You want me to prove it to you from the Bible? I'm going to anyways. Firstly, clearly, Jesus is our kin. He has relationship with us. For the Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 7 that he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the very likeness of men. He came of his own will and said, I'm going to be born in the image and the likeness of flesh and walk among them. The Bible says in the book of John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came and became like one of us. Because the only way that mankind, humanity, could be redeemed from sin is if another man came that was in total perfection and sinless purity that made a decision to say, you know what, I'm going to come and redeem these people. And that's exactly who Jesus Christ is. He eternally existed. He was not created. He's always been God. And he decided to come and say, I'm going to come to the earth in the likeness and the form of a man to die for my people. Not just that, but the Bible also says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, that he is the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus came, the first risen from the dead, because he knew that after him would come many brothers and sisters that would follow him into glory. And if you're in this room today and you're a believer and you're saved and right with God, how many know that Jesus considers you his brother? Amen? The firstborn among many brethren. Not just is he our kin, but he also was willing to redeem. For the Bible says in Matthew 20 and verse 28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Remember, a ransom is the price paid for redemption. So the Bible says he didn't come to be served. He came to serve and give his life for us. Not just that, but the Bible also says in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6, he gave himself as a ransom for all people. And if you need to hear it any more clear that Jesus did this of his own will, he was quite clear in John chapter 10, verse 18, when Jesus said, no man takes my life from me, I lay it down of my own will. You can't get any more clear than that. So he's our kin, number one, and clearly number two, he's willing to redeem of his own will. And number three, he alone could pay the price. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's a high price. And the Bible also says that there's no remission or forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. So the price tag to buy us out of the slavery of sin and the slavery of everything that humanity stuck under was a high price. Can you say that? A high price. And only Jesus can pay it. And this is what the Bible says. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says this. In him, being Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And 1 Peter 1:18 and verse 19, it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed. God considers all the wealth of the world to be a perishing thing. It's important in this life, but into eternity, even the highest dollar bid amount could not buy back one soul from the captivity of hell. It took the precious blood of Jesus Christ to buy us back. You could take the sum total of everything this world has to offer and lay it before God, it wouldn't be enough to pay the price. But the blood of Jesus Christ paid the price, amen? And that's the good news of the gospel, and that's why we should be excited this morning, because Jesus already came and went to the cross. He was already willing to die, already died, already rose again, is already ascended to the right hand of the Father, and ever lives to make intercession for you and me. Which means if you're sitting in here today, and you're not right with God, you don't know Jesus Christ. Or maybe there's something in your life that slipped in, a sin, an addiction, something that's holding you down. The good news is this. God's not here to condemn you this morning. He's here to say, I'm willing to redeem. He's here to say, I already paid the price. He's here to say, I'll lift you from the pit that's so low and pull you up and set you among the princes of my people. Come on, give God praise. He's here to say this morning, every dunghill that you're in, every garbage heap that you found yourself in, I'm here this morning to lift you up. I came to Ahoskie, North Carolina this morning to tell you, God is a redeemer. Amen? If God's redeemed you this morning, come on, just give him like praise. You know what I mean? Because God paid the highest price for my life and for your life, and he deserves eternal praise and worship that he came and was willing to die for us. It excites me. It makes me happy on the inside knowing that his good news, the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is come home, I'm ready to redeem. Come on, my God. It excites me. So the question now is, what did Jesus do that redeemed us? And many of you probably already know, but there may be somebody in here who's never heard the gospel before. They have no idea, no clue what it is Jesus did. You know what's interesting? Up in Massachusetts, where I live, there was a young man that I encountered. He was about 17 years old, and he had a cross necklace around his neck. That's really big up in New England. A lot of people wear cross necklaces. And I said, hey, where did you get that necklace from? And he said, store so-and-so. And I said, do you know what it means? And he said, no, I saw it on TikTok, which is this app that young people, you know, use and watch videos if you're not sure what it is. He said, no, I saw this thing on TikTok, and I thought it was a really cool piece of, you know, jewelry or an accessory, so I figured I'd buy one. He said, you know, it's like a nice cross, kind of like an addition sign. He had no clue what the cross of Jesus Christ was. That's in America in 2021. He had no idea what it was. Nobody had ever told him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that really changed my mentality and thinking on approaching people with Christ. A lot of us think, you know, people don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to hear. No, most of them have never heard, and their spirit is crying out. For the Bible says God has placed eternity in the heart of each and every single person, and there's a place inside the heart of every person that only God can fill that place. So don't be afraid to share your faith with somebody, because chances are they've probably never heard. Even the person that might live right next door to you may have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that blew my mind. It completely changed the way I approach everything I do, because I could be speaking to somebody who literally does not know what the cross of Jesus Christ is. So in your Bible, quickly turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. I just want to show this to you in the Bible, because it's important to see things in the Bible, to know that what I'm saying is not my opinion or not the opinion of another minister or speaker or a commentator, but for you to know that this is what God has to say concerning things. And that is what will sustain you on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, after church is over, knowing that what you heard in church on Sunday morning is in God's word and you can bank your life on it. Amen? So, Galatians chapter 3, how did Christ redeem us? How did Christ redeem us? Verse 13. Christ has, that's past tense, redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, what's the curse of the law? I'm glad you asked. That phrase, the curse of the law, refers to God's law in the first five books of the Bible. Specifically, the book of Deuteronomy and the 28th chapter. And Deuteronomy 28 is listed a list, and it's a large list, of both blessings and curses for obeying or not obeying God. And the Bible tells us here clearly, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go read to you the entire curse of the law. It's long. But I encourage you, when you get home today, open up your Bible and go to Deuteronomy 28 and read what it is Christ redeemed you from. Read it. It'll change your life, because it's changed mine. But the curse of the law could equally and easily be also be called the curse of sin. For the curse of the law is but an expansion of the original curse of sin that came into the world in the first book of the Bible called Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned. For God told Adam and Eve, the day that you rebel against me and eat of the tree I told you not to touch, you will surely die. What's interesting about that is, anyone that reads the Bible can clearly see that they didn't immediately die physically. They lived actually quite a long time. God was there speaking and referring to spiritual death. Can you say spiritual death? And spiritual death is eternal separation from God. It means that you've stepped out of right relationship with Him. Literally, it means like this. That when man sinned, they made this action towards God and turned their back on Him. And God, in response, because He's just and holy, turned His back on mankind. But it was by the cross of Jesus Christ that God made the first move and said, you know what? Man sinned against me, but I love my creation. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come in the likeness of flesh and die on a cross to redeem them from destruction and from the curse of sin. That's the grace and the mercy of the God that we serve. So God decided to make the first turn back towards man. He now faces towards us saying, come to me. Be reconciled to me. Be restored. Be redeemed. I paid the price. Now, what man has to do, men and women, they have to make the decision when they hear the gospel to either accept it or reject it. And if they accept it in the spirit, it's like an image of this. Us turning back to God and we're face to face again in right relationship with Him. Amen? So that's the gospel, in essence, that we turn from our decision to be in rebellion to God and turn back so we're standing face to face with Him. Let me say it to you like this. The cross of Jesus Christ serves as a bridge. On one side was humanity and our sin and our rebellion, and we had no way to get to the other side where God is. And God, because He's just and holy, though He loves us, He can't let sin go unpunished or ignored. If He did, He wouldn't be God. Amen? That would mean everything He ever wrote in the Word was not true. God said, I am just. I am holy. And if He said, you know what, I'm just going to forgive it on the sake of whatever, then He wouldn't be just or holy. How many know in a situation in our world, if someone commits a crime or does something that's wrong, we want what? Justice. We sang about it this morning. Justice. Justice means that if a person commits a crime or does something that's against the agreed upon law that we have as a society, justice means that they would get a consequence or a harvest or a punishment that's in equal to the crime committed. Amen? So what God decided to do is, you know what? The wages of sin is death. There's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. It's my word. I said it. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come and die, and I'm going to come and shed my own blood so that the penalty that humanity made towards me, I myself will actually be able to forgive and redeem while also still being just, merciful, and loving. It's like mind-blowing when you realize what God's redemptive story really is, where God said, you know what? I'm going to come do it myself. And that's what He did. So the cross now of Jesus Christ, on one side was humanity and the arm of Jesus here, and on the other side, God and the arm of Jesus here, and the cross is the bridge by which we are reconciled back to God. Because there's perfect justice and forgiveness and redemption that only comes through the life of Jesus Christ given on the cross. Amen? And that is the good news of the gospel. So the Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So the major consequence or the curse of the law was spiritual death and separation from God. But there's more than just that. Say there's more. Deuteronomy says this, and you can go home and read it again. I encourage you to do so. But there's more consequences that came into the earth because of sin, the curse of sin, mainly sickness and disease. The Bible says clearly in Deuteronomy that an aspect of the curse of the law is plagues, sicknesses, diseases. I mean, it lists everything from A to Z. And then the Bible makes sure to be so clear that it even says, and all those diseases not even written in this law will come upon you because of the curse of sin and the curse of the law. But you know what the good news is today? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen? Which means He's redeemed us from being separated from God, from sickness and disease. Amen? And then another aspect of the curse of the law, a chief aspect, is poverty and lack. How many know poverty and lack is a curse? Right? To not have enough to supply for your family is not a blessing. It brings stress upon you, right? It brings stress. It brings anxiety to say, how am I going to take care of my family? How? See, in Eden, humanity was created to have all abundance. Everything they needed was right there. They had everything. They didn't lack anything. They didn't ever say, you know, Adam didn't have a conversation with Eve one night and say, Eve, I don't know how we're going to put food on the table. If he did, Eve would have said, hello, look around you. It's right here. And so with sin came the curse of poverty and lack. For God said, by the sweat of your brow and with thorns and thistles will you work all day long. It's a curse. Poverty and lack is not a blessing. Nobody's ever said, I'm so happy I don't have anything to buy food today. That doesn't make sense. It's not a blessing. It's a curse. And so God wants you to have an abundance and an overflow to care for your family, right, and your house, so that you can bless and prosper and help God's house, right? Because God can only increase this house if he first increases you. Because you have to bring your tithe into the storehouse, as Pastor said this morning. You come to make sure that there's food in God's house. So God blesses his house because he blesses you. Amen? And not just that, God also wants you to have an overflow and an abundance for every good work. That means so that you can sow into overseas missions, so that you can sow into evangelism and to the winning of the lost. God wants you and needs you to have an abundance so that you can meet the needs of your world. Amen? But here's the good news of the Bible and the good news of the gospel. Christ has redeemed us from poverty and lack. The Bible says it clearly. So it's actually an aspect of the... Amen. So it's actually an aspect of the curse of sin to not have enough. And I'm sure many of you have experienced it. Well, I'm working so hard as I can. And I trust many of you are very hardworking people. Have faith enough to say all of you are very hardworking people. You can tell by the spirit that you work and that you produce for your family. And so, you know, many people have had this experience where it's like I'm working, and it feels like there's holes in my pockets. Everything's falling out. Well, there's a curse that's from the curse of sin that you don't have to stand under anymore because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so those are the chief aspects. There's more, but because of time, we won't get into them. But those are the chief aspects of things that came with the curse of sin. When men decided, by their own will, I'm going to rebel against God. So spiritual separation and death, sickness and disease, poverty and lack. The three major things that came into the earth because of the curse of sin. But the good news of the Bible, I'll say it again until I know you have it, is Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen? But my main point in turning to this verse is I want to show you what it is Christ did that actually caused redemption to be appropriated to us. Amen? So the latter half of this verse, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Well, that's an interesting phrase, having become a curse for us. I remember the first time I read that, I said, what in the world does that mean? How does the Son of God become a curse for us? That doesn't make sense. Has anyone else ever read this and maybe wondered that? What does that mean, having become a curse for us? Well, the Bible says, for it is written. Anytime the Bible says that, it's referring to the Old Testament. Amen? For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So in the Old Testament law, because God said this, and I think the reason may be because of what Christ did, but he said in the Old Testament, cursed is anything or anyone that hangs on a tree. God said it because he's God, right? And what God says is eternal truth. Cursed is anyone or anything that hangs on a tree. Well, what was the cross made of? Wood. Which means it must have been cut from a tree. Interesting. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So when Jesus Christ went to the cross and hung on the cross, because of the word of God, there he became a curse for us. And here's what actually happened. On the cross, by a mystery of the Spirit, Jesus within himself took the curse of sin upon himself. Remember, he's our kinsman redeemer. He became like us. He was willing and he was ready to pay the price. So he said, you know what? I'm going to take the curse of sin upon myself. And so when Jesus was sent to the cross, took a nail in the left hand, nail in the right, nail in the feet, in his feet. There on the cross, by a mystery of the Spirit, a mystery of substitution, he took sin upon himself and bore it bodily. And the Bible says he became a curse for us. Now, hear me clearly, Jesus never sinned. He was sinless, holy perfection. Amen? He is the Son of God. He didn't do anything deserving of that death. Jesus said, especially when Pilate spoke to him, you know, I have the power to take your life. Jesus said, no one has the power to take my life. No one. Jesus laid his life down willingly. Jesus wasn't murdered. He went to the cross of his own will. Amen? Because many times people tried to kill him. In Luke chapter 4, after he stood up in the synagogue and announced, I'm the anointed one, they tried to throw him off a cliff. You know what Jesus did? Walked right through. So it's impossible to kill the author of life. You can't kill the author of life, right? So Jesus wasn't murdered on the cross. Don't ever let anyone tell you that. Jesus gave his own life willingly. Amen? Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So there on the cross, he took the curse of sin upon himself. The Bible actually says it like this in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. For he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I always say it like this. It's a this for that exchange. A this for that exchange. He who knew no sin, never sinned, never committed a sin. Don't ever let anybody tell you that. Jesus was absolute perfection. Amen? He who knew no sin became, or literally bore sin within himself. So he took our sin, our dirty rags. It's like Jesus took everything of us that was in this bucket, took it upon himself on the cross. His righteousness, holiness, the Bible says he became for us righteousness, wisdom, redemption, amen? Everything of him, he took it, and we swapped buckets, amen? Jesus took everything upon himself on the cross, that we might become the righteousness of God. What is righteousness of God? To stand before God without fault, without sin, and clean. Not because of anything we've done, but because of the precious spilled blood of Jesus Christ, amen? And I'm telling you, I can feel the power of that blood and the power of the Spirit beginning to rise as he's touching every heart and beginning to speak to the hearts of people that need to make a decision today to be right with him. Because if you're not right with Jesus Christ, then everything else that the Lord has in store this week for you is like a temporal thing. God wants you chiefly to be right with him, to stand right with him, to get rid of sin once and for all. Get rid of it. Sin's a curse that's actively destroying you and sending you on a path into an eternity you don't want to go to. Trust me. And today, Jesus is extending to you an offer. Come to me and be redeemed. Come to me and be forgiven. I don't care how low you are. I can lift you up like this. God doesn't need, you know, any help. God came by himself of his own will and said, listen, if I say you're redeemed, who says you're not? If God's for you, who can be against you? It's God who justifies, who can condemn? If he made a decision, I've come to redeem you, then who can tell you that your past, your life was too dirty, too sinful, too awful? Jesus already came and said, you know what? Jesus knew that you were going to exist and that I was going to exist. And on the cross, he decided to die for you anyways. If your sin was too terrible, if what you've done was too bad, if your addiction was too strong, if your issue was bigger than God, then you know what? That would have meant that Jesus would have never rose from the dead, because that would have meant that your sin was strong enough to keep him dead. But you know what the good news of the gospel is? That not only did he die on the cross and was buried, but on the third day he popped up again to say, behold, I was dead, but now I'm alive. Revelation 1:18, I'm alive and I live forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and death. I have the authority. I have everything in my hand. So listen, Jesus has the liberation keys of whatever it is you're bound by this morning. He has the keys of liberation of whatever has you bound this morning. So I don't care what it is, Jesus came to set the captive free. For he said in Luke 19 and verse 10, I have come to seek
and save the lost. So God sent me this morning to Ahoskie, North Carolina, to seek and to save the lost. Because God uses us to seek people out so that he may save them. Amen? God sends us. God sends you into the grocery store, to Walmart, wherever it is that you go, your neighborhood, your family. And God's sending you to seek and look. Because the Bible says in the Great Commission, Jesus commissioned us now to go. Jesus said, well, I am in the world, I am the light of the world, but I'm leaving soon, and I won't leave you alone. I'll send you a comforter called the Holy Spirit. But once I go, you are the light of the world, because I'm in you. And so our job and our position as believers is to begin to seek and look for the lostness of lost people all around us. There's people around you every day that are on a highway collision course to hell. And you have the answer on the inside of you that can set them free. And his name is Jesus Christ. It's not a theory, it's not a philosophy, it's not an idea. It's a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? He became sin for us. How many have heard John 3:16 in here? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, I probably quoted that upwards of 7,000 times in my life, probably. You know what I mean? Maybe a exaggeration, but a lot. That's what I'm trying to say. But you know what's interesting about that verse is actually the verses that come before it, the two that come before it, that put it in proper perspective, that a lot of people may not be aware of. So I want to ask you one last time, turn in your Bible to John chapter 3. And I want to show you what it is Jesus is really saying when he says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. John chapter 3, verse 14 says this, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me read it one more time. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, I remember the first time I read that, I said, what in the world does this mean? Even as Moses lifted up a serpent, what does it have to do with the gospel? You know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense. And so I remember when it finally clicked, when I began to really study it out. See, Jesus here is referring to something that happened in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, in the 11th chapter. The Bible tells us that God's people sinned against God. And so fiery, venomous serpents were loosed into the camp of the Israelites, right? And the Bible tells us that those venomous snakes went around and they bit people. They were biting all the Israelites. And the Bible is clear that many died because of the bite. And of those that remained, they were critically ill because they were venomous vipers. I mean, you know, those are snakes that don't mess around. Do you guys have poisonous snakes down here at all? Yeah. So, you know, luckily up north, you know, our like biggest enemy is the mosquito, but yeah, so you can even probably relate to this more than I can, that a venomous serpent or snake is bad news, right? Right, thank you, awesome. So the Bible's clear that those serpents went out, and so Moses was the leader of God's people at that time, and Moses cried out to God, God, what do I do about this situation? What in the world do I do? What do I do? And so God told Moses this. God said, Moses, I want you to take one like the thing that's killing my people. Like the fiery serpent that's injecting this curse of venom into them that's killing and wiping out my people. I want you to actually take a serpent, a brazen serpent, and affix it to a pole. Well, what's a pole made out of? Wood. I want you to take a pole and take that serpent and affix it to that pole. Then here's what I want you to do. I want you to lift that pole up high. And everyone who looks to that pole, that serpent, will be healed. Moses said, Sorry, God said, everyone who looks to that serpent will be healed. Huh. I begin to think, and when you go back to what Jesus is saying, and I can feel God's redeeming power here now. He said very clearly, even as, or just as, or like, in the same way. You could say it any of those ways. In the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, as the only means of redemption, the only means of remedy for that venom and for that curse of venom that was destroying people, in the same way that that serpent was lifted up, I must be lifted up. Jesus didn't say, I should be lifted up, I have to be lifted up, I must be lifted up, as if there was no other way, because there wasn't. Jesus said, I must be lifted up. The Son of Man must be lifted up. You know, the Bible says if the Son of Man be lifted up, he would draw all men unto him. Well, a lot of times when we say that, we think of worship, which is a proper way to think of that. But really, it refers to the cross. If Christ be lifted up, then I'll draw all men unto me. And that's men and women. It's both. All unto me. So Jesus said, listen, that serpent, when it was affixed to that pole and put up, everyone who looked at it was healed. The Bible says everyone, right? Everyone. Jesus said, in the same way, I must be lifted up. And so he went to the cross, and there he hung, nail in both hands, and he took the venom of sin into himself. And there on the cross did he hang. And Jesus was lifted up high and lifted up. And it looked like a defeat, but it was the greatest victory the world's ever seen. For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that if the ruler of this world knew what he was doing, he would have never done it. Because what happened is, when Jesus went to the cross, and it looked like there he was being defeated, it was actually there that the book of Colossians says, he made a public spectacle of the devil, shaming him openly. Shaming him openly. So there Jesus hung, and it looked like a defeat to the natural eye. But Jesus on the inside, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, endured the cross, despising the shame. That's in Philippians. But in Isaiah, he looked forward to the reward of his suffering. Looked forward to the reward of his suffering. And that's why he endured the cross. Because he knew, listen, this is temporary. I'm bearing this upon myself. I'll be in the grave for a short time, but I'm coming back again, so don't you worry. And then what's going to happen is after I rise from the dead, the devil's going to be in a lot of trouble. Because not only will there just be me, but now I'll raise up a whole army of people called believers, Christians, that'll be filled with my same power, my same resurrection glory, that everywhere they go, everything I did, they'll do it in greater. That's the good news of the gospel. So Jesus there on the cross, there he was, affixed high and lifted up. Jesus said, anyone who looks to me will not perish. Who looks to me will not perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the picture of what that verse means. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son to be crucified, to take the curse of sin upon himself, that you and I might be redeemed. See, I don't care how low you are this morning. I don't care where you're at in life. The Bible's clear in Psalm 103. He redeems your life from destruction, from the pit. You may have come in here lower than low. You may have come in here with a drug addiction, a secret addiction nobody knows about. You may have come in here with a sickness or a disease in your body. Or maybe you've come in here and you're fighting with God. You know you should serve him, but on the inside, there's still a lust for the things of this world and for the flesh. But today, as you've heard the gospel, something has changed on the inside of you. See, Hannah understood God's redeeming power. And she said, he lifts the poor out of the dust and the beggar from the dunghill. I don't care what dunghill you're in this morning, God's getting ready to lift you out. Amen. Amen? Praise God. The same thing God did for Amy, I've seen God do for many people. And I'm just at the beginning point of what God's called me to do. But at this very beginning point, there's nothing I love more than seeing people come to serve Jesus Christ. That's my ultimate purpose and goal. Because at the end of the day, the only thing we can take with us to heaven are people. People. And so why not have a large caravan behind us as we go in with a big gospel train saying, God, I got 95 cars full of people ready. You ready for this? And God says, bring them on. You see, Jesus secured for us eternal redemption. Far beyond whatever he would do for us here in this temporal world, which he wants to redeem. Don't ever let anybody tell you God doesn't care about your life here. Yes, he does. He cares about your body, and the Bible says at the end of time, he'll redeem that too. But God doesn't want you sick and diseased. He wants you to be strong in body and mind. He doesn't want you not having enough. He wants you to have an abundance for every good work. He wants you to live a life that's overcoming and above whatever it is that the devil's trying to do in this earth. Amen? The Bible says clearly in Hebrews 9 and 12 that Jesus did not enter by the means of the blood of bulls and goats. That blood was temporary in the Old Testament. It wasn't strong enough. But hear this. But he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, obtaining eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption. God buying you back for eternity, where you'll never die. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though they may die in their physical body in that sense, they'll never die. It's just a transition into another world. This morning, my question to you is this. Will you look to Jesus and be redeemed? Will you turn your gaze off of what you have focused as your back is turned to God? And will you turn and look? Is there a cross in here? Right there. Will you turn and look? That's my question. Will you be redeemed this morning? The choice is yours, because Jesus already said, I've come. I've given my blood. I've done my part. Now it's your turn. It's that simple. Will you be redeemed this morning? Will you be redeemed from an empty way of living? You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter that he redeemed us from the empty life we inherited from those who came before us. From just living for the sake of living. Waking up, going to work, cooking dinner, going to bed, repeat. Waking up, going to work, cooking dinner, going to bed, repeat. Living just a cycle of life with no real purpose or meaning. It's Jesus that comes into us and into our life that gives us a reason to be alive. I've always found it interesting how the American system has life set up. You go to school for 12 years, K through 12, college for 4 upwards to 8 to 16 now. Then you get a career that most people are not happy in, and they work that 9 to 5 every day of their life, you know, just going through the motions. Then they come to retirement and realize their whole life's passed them by. But with Jesus in your life, he comes and gives you a purpose. That every morning you wake up knowing, this day is for the glory of God. Today is the day the Lord has made. God's purpose in my life today will be manifested. God and Jesus Christ on the inside of you gives you life purpose. Amen? So I'm going to ask you to do what everybody in this room who calls themselves a believer has done at one point in their life. I'm going to ask you this morning to make a decision to serve Jesus Christ. I can't make it for you. Your pastor can't make it for you. It's a decision you must make for yourself. And there's people in here, I can tell, your spirit's stirring and you're saying, oh, no. But that's not me that's prodding you or stirring you. It's the Holy Spirit on the word that gets into your heart. Where the Bible says, after Peter preached, they were cut to the heart. And there's two responses that you can have when your heart's cut by the word of God. First response is ignore and rebel. Or you can just be humble enough to say, you know what? My life needs help. I need to be redeemed. I need redemption. I need help. I can't live like this anymore. I can't keep going through the same addictions time and time again. I can't keep going through the same stuff over and over and over again. I want to serve Jesus today. Making the decision to serve Jesus Christ was the best decision I ever made in my life. And you can ask anybody in here that serves God. God's been good to them. And I've never talked to them, but I can tell you because I know God's promise. The Bible says, I would have fainted unless I believed I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That means while you're here on the earth. Not everything's in the great by and by that God has for you. God has stuff for you here. God wants to improve your life here on this earth. He wants you to live good. He wants to give you good things. He wants to give you those benefits that I read in Psalm 103. That's God's great benefit package. Forgiveness of sins, healing of disease, redemption, restoration, crowning you with loving kindness, tender mercies, all those things God wants to do for you. So this morning, my question to you is this. Have you ever made a clear decision to serve Jesus Christ? Have you ever said, you know what, I've never actually fully repented of sin and made a decision, I'm going to actually turn, make a turn, roundabout choice. That's what repentance means. Simply, it's a 180 turn from where you're at. Not 360, that would leave you at the same place. But it's a 180 about face where you turn and change your mind. That's what repentance means. Change of mind, change of action. Here's the proof that you've repented. You change the way you think, and you don't go back to that stuff anymore. And if the temptation comes, you say, God, I thank you that you've given me strength to stand against every temptation, and you walk in the way of holiness and the way of serving God. You know, the Bible still says, without holiness, no man will see God. But the good news is this. It's not us working hard. God, I don't want to sin against you. I remember when that was my thought process, I don't want to sin today, I don't want to sin today. Well, then you sin, and then you feel terrible, because it's works, it's rigid. You feel like this all the time. But when you enter into grace and say, Holy Spirit, you are the Holy Spirit. You help me to live right and live holy. I don't want to hurt your heart or dishonor you or dishonor what Jesus did for me. I want to live in accordance with what your word says. That makes holiness really easy. Because you realize that it's a heart matter. It's a heart matter. And if you miss it, you realize, you know what, God? I apologize. Forgive me. I repent. Help me to do better. It's not about perfection. It's about seeking the path of walking with God, amen, side by side. Amen? So hopefully that helps somebody. I don't even know why I said that. Amen. But today, if you're in this room and you're not sure, as Pastor Wallace said this morning, Jesus said, I'm coming back. I'm coming again. Are you ready to meet me? You don't want to miss his return. And if you're not 100% sure that if Christ were to come now, you'd be ready to meet him, the good news is you can make the decision right now. You don't have to go home and say, you know what, I don't know if I'm right with God. I wouldn't leave this church right now when this opportunity is being given to say, you know what, I'm going to make a public commitment today to serve Jesus Christ. Why do we do it publicly? Well, everybody in the Bible Jesus called out, he called them publicly. He said, come stand before me. Come stand here. When God told people to get away from sin, he said, come out from among them. Make a prophetic step in faith in the natural to say, I'm stepping out of sin and I'm stepping into what God has for me. That's why we do altar calls and that's why we ask people to come forward. Because Jesus wants you to make a decision. Come stand before me. And God wants you today to make that decision. The question's up to you. So if you're in this room right now, I would ask you quickly bow your head and think in your own heart and ask, and if you're watching online as well, am I right with God? Is there something in my life that's not pleasing to God that I need to deal with this morning and get rid of? If he were to come right now, would I be ready to meet him? Holy Spirit, speak to the hearts of your people. You know who's lost. You know who needs to come home today. You know who needs redemption and restoration this morning. Speak to lost hearts. Compel them to come into the kingdom. By your power and glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. What I'm going to ask you to do will take some boldness, but I know you can do it. If you're in this room this morning and you're not 100% sure that you're right with Jesus, but everything you heard this morning, me preach on redemption, the cross, Jesus taking sin upon himself, it touched your heart. Or maybe you're in this room and you serve God and for whatever reason you've fallen away. You've entered a life that's of sin and you know you're not ready to meet God right now. I'm going to pray with you at this altar and God's going to do a redemptive miracle here this morning. I'm telling you, by a work of the Spirit, you could be this low this morning, as low as possibly low, and God, in an instant, by the Spirit, will take you up here and set you among the princes of his people. Amen? So if you're in this room this morning, and you say, Wesley, I want to pray with you, I want you to pray so that I can come forward this morning to say, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. Very simple. Just an act of faith. And we're going to pray, and God's going to redeem you this morning. Amen? God's going to set you free this morning. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand and do what takes boldness, but the Holy Spirit will help you to do it. Because everybody here loves you. I can tell. There's a love in this house. You can feel it, that people love each other. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Do what takes boldness and courage, and God's going to help you. Amen? Ready? If you want to make a decision this morning to serve Jesus Christ, to come into the kingdom, to repent of sin, on the count of three, lift your hand. One, two, three, in Jesus' name. Quickly, all around the house. Jesus sees you. All around the house this morning, lift your hand. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Praise God. Now what I'm going to ask you to do will take even more courage, but you can do it. Quickly, stand up and come join me right here at the front. Quickly, come. Quickly, come. If you're next to somebody that raised their hand, just tell them this. I'll go up there with you. Everybody loves you here. Come forward to Jesus this morning. Come. Come. Come to Jesus, the old song says. Come, come, come to Jesus. He is waiting with arms wide open, so come, just come. And I can't sing, so I'm not going to. That would make everybody at the altar go back to their seat. Praise God for the lost and for souls this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. 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 Very quickly, if when I made that call this morning, you said I should be up there, but you did not raise your hand for whatever reason, guess what? God's a God of grace and mercy. Time's not out for you. If you want to come, quickly join us here. Slip out of your seat. No one will judge you. Nobody will judge you. Nobody will say anything to you. Everybody loves you here. Quickly come. I feel there may be one or two more. Quickly, quickly come. God's waiting for you, and I'll wait for you. Because souls matter to God. Jesus said, if you have 99 secure ones and one falls, I'm running after the one. So Jesus has enough fortitude and love for you this morning to wait for you. And so because I love him and I love lost people, I'll wait for you too. There we go. Praise God. I feel one more too. One more. Before I feel the release. May there be even one more. May there be even one more. You know who you are. I'll give you 15 more seconds. Come if you'd like. No pressure, but come if you'd like. I wouldn't miss this opportunity for anything. Last call. Quickly come to Jesus. Come this morning. He's waiting. Okay. Let's pray. Everybody at the altar, quickly lift your hands with me. We're going to pray something called the sinner's prayer. It's not the words you say that are going to save you this morning, but it's from your heart. It's what's about to come out of your heart that's going to save you. For the Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 9 that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and then confess with your mouth that he's Lord, you will be saved. Amen? So quickly, everybody at this altar, pray this with me out loud with boldness and authority. And get ready, there's about to be a Holy Ghost celebration in heaven, because the Bible says that when just one lost person comes home, there's a rejoicing party in heaven. And I can see God already touching and redeeming people at the altar. Quickly, pray this with me. God, say it with some might. God, this morning, as I listen to the word of God, you touched my heart. You convinced me of my need for you. I thank you that you love me and that you want to redeem me. I confess I've sinned against you. I've done what's wrong. But I ask you now, by the sacrifice of Jesus, cleanse me of all sin. Fill me with your spirit. Make me new. I repent. I won't go back. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And now I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me this morning. Come on, give God praise this morning for souls coming into the kingdom. Everybody at the altar, please stay. Come on, hallelujah. I like him right there. Come on, give God praise. Give him a shout for souls this morning. Everybody at the altar this morning, lift your hands. I want to come and pray with you if that's okay. If you wouldn't like me to, that's fine. But I would like to pray with you. Specifically you right here, God's touching your heart. You, yeah, come forward. Is it okay if I pray with you? Okay, lift your hands to the Lord. I feel the Lord say to you today, I'm your redeemer. He's going to restore and redeem everything that's been taken from you, okay? He's going to touch your body, touch your life and family for the glory of God. Lift your hands very quickly. The power of God's going to come touch, heal, and restore and redeem everything that the devil stole from you this very moment. What's your name?
Nancy.
Nancy? Father, I pray for Nancy, your precious daughter. I thank you, you are her redeemer. I break every addiction, even says the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Right now, the fresh touch of God's power and spirit come upon you in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Redeem her and set her free by your power. There it is, more and more of God's precious, redeeming, delivering fire that sets every captive free and breaks every yoke. In Jesus' name. You're welcome. God bless. Jesus loves you. Can I pray for you?
Sure.
Lift your hands. God's going to give you a fresh touch, fresh filling of everything that you need. That's just what I feel. Go ahead. Lift your hands all around the altar. I just want to come and bless you. Father, I pray for this precious sister. Bless her and fill her with your mighty power in Jesus' name. I pray for this precious sister, Father. I thank you for a fresh touch of your power upon her now in Jesus' mighty name. Pray for this brother, Father. Thank you. Fresh touch of your spirit and power upon him. In Jesus' mighty name, more and more of the power of God. I pray for this precious sister. The Lord says to you, I'm glad you came home this morning. Lift your hands even higher. I feel God say he wants to even use you.
Right now is not scripted, not practiced or anything, and I think that's what the Lord wants, our rawness. He wants us to stop pretending, playing. He wants us on our faces in front of Him. So just one more little opportunity. If you let it out, you're not here to put on a show. We're here to worship the Lord this morning. So let's sing one more time how holy He is. He knows it, but He wants to hear it from us. So
praise. Put your hands together for Him, would you?
Hallelujah.
Listen, the offering buckets are here. Would you take a moment just to sow into the ministry of Wesley Augury this morning? Come on. How many of you love the gospel being preached today? Come on. Sow a precious gift. Just step out of your seat and come on. Sow a precious gift to His ministry today. Let's bless Him. He's blessed us. How many of you had the occasion to be at the men's meeting a couple of Saturdays ago? Do you remember the sandwich that you ate? How many of y'all remember it's about 4 inches thick like this? Listen, I promise you, what you need to do is go back to the archive here. Go back to Facebook or YouTube, CSIC Media. go back to and take that message. Just sit there and write it down. I promise you, you'll have about 6 or 7 gospel messages. He's an evangelist. He knows he's only got 3 services, okay? He gave you a sandwich that'll last you a lifetime, I promise you, all right? That's meat. Come on. He preached the gospel, the good news. He didn't miss anything, okay? Start to finish. A redemptive word for you. And it's important. You say, well, Pastor, if I'm born again, why do I need to go back? Listen, take this down, because you know what? You need to be sharing the message that he preached every day you live. How many of you remember for the last several weeks, I've been preaching messages that I entitled Seeing Revival Clearly? How many of you know that today was message number 4, Seeing Revival Clearly? Come on. Seeing Revival Clearly. Amen? Seeing Revival Clearly. And he gave you a powerful biblical picture of God's redemption. Beautifully done. Amen? Beautifully done. Give it up for Wesley Augury, would you? Come on. Thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for his faithfulness. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for your manservant today. Thank you, God, for your goodness and your blessing, God, to allow him to release an anointed word founded on the Bible, Lord, God's word to our hearts and our lives. I pray, Lord, for every person in this room, God, that tonight we will find ourselves positioned here once again, 6 o'clock in the evening, not sitting home, not just relaxing, but coming back to the waters and taking a drink, God, because we're thirsty for your word. I speak blessing and peace upon every one of us to bring someone with us tonight, that we would not come alone, that we would not be satisfied until we found a friend to bring to worship tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, bring somebody back with you tonight. Is it a sacrifice? Absolutely. Absolutely. But bring someone back with you tonight. Bring someone who needs to hear about the love of Jesus. Would you do that? God bless you. Fellowship among yourselves before you leave. And thank you for being here today. Services tonight at 6, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, 7 p.m. God bless you richly.